there's really nothing. And it's really true. There is no toilets. So they give you a manual before you go on. You isolate it before the game starts. You're not allowed to go out of hotel room. They put stuff up. So they take all your electronics. So they're weaning you off the world. They said, bring books and Sudoku. And I had 5 days like that, which was great for sleep and reading the Bible. But normally when we're done, when we close the Bible, we go, we make coffee, we check the phone, check emails. So now when I'm done with the Bible, I'm like, what now? And then you open it again and you read. And I memorized scripture because I knew I was not allowed to take my Bible. So I had a few scriptures memorized, and I would say it every morning. Okay, the whole of Philippians 2. I spent time in my room to memorize over and over. And I realized how bad we get with memorizing stuff like a cell phone number because everything is on our devices. You know, our brains, they really, hulle tree al af op 14. Yeah, because our cell phones, they do everything. But anyway, so they said in the manual, your team must decide what happens with toilet. And so we had this one area, and we said, that's the toilet. And it was kind of at the side of a beach. It was tiny kant. So everyone knew if someone goes that side, don't follow them. You don't want to go there now. They don't want to chat. They want to be alone for a moment. And in the beginning, a lot of people had runny tummies, so they were literally doing shuttles like this. And so you had two options. And they told us we should do it. And it's not even funny. If you were a guy and you just had to pee-pee, you just went to the ocean, everyone's behind your back, and you just pee-pee in the sea. It's as simple as that. The ladies, they would go to the place. Now, because everyone had these very, almost like crush words for what they want to go to the toilet. I want to go poo. Then the camera people said, listen, we just say you want to go and collect coconuts. Because if we hear about poo or pee and the other one more time, because everyone had a runny tummy. So you'd be talking with someone's strategy and they'll film you and then someone will shout, I need to go and poo, and it'll be on the audio. And so we had code words. I'm going to go collect coconuts. And now, when you go to the place where you collect coconuts, there's sand. Okay? And then you make a hole like this. And then don't pretend you go, don't go to the toilet here, okay? It's human anatomy basics. Then you deposit whatever is there to put in the hole. You close it up, you take a stick, and you put it in. And that stick means don't dig here. Okay. Okay. And so later on, it looked like a vineyard. I mean, we almost had to recycle certain holes and like, you know, just for space. But if you really wanted to be naughty, you should take that sticks and just put them in different places. So, yeah, that's just a few things. It was great fun. And thanks for all of you guys' support and having me here. I just want to pray, and then we're going to dig into this. We'll draw some lines between survivor and spiritual truths, okay? Father, I just want to thank you for this wonderful morning with these wonderful people. And the idea I have is just the idea of family. When I came in here, I sensed love and acceptance and warmth. And a family needs a head, and the head of this family is Jesus. And a family is not a family because it always goes well. A family is a family because of the love that remains when it goes well and when it goes very hard. And thank you that you have the ability, Lord, to bind this family together in the great times when we laugh and the great times when we cry. Do do your work this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, let's read. Afrikaans mense, ek sal se nou en dan 'n one-liner gooi. Colossians of Colossians 4. Let's read together. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, okay, for the gospel, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Who's writing this? Paul. Where is Paul? In prison. He's asking for an open door for the prison, yes? No. No. This man is sitting in prison. He says, I want an open door, but not for the prison. I'm not asking for an out of my circumstances. I'm not asking for an out of my struggling marriage. I'm not asking for an out away from this business, from this incredible heart senior to work with. That's not what I ask for. I ask for an open door for the word. We're all backslidden. But what does he ask about the word? This is a man that wrote the book of Romans. Okay? It's the greatest exposition of the gospel there is. It's an academic genius. He says, don't pray for me that I may know what to say. What does he ask? Look carefully at scripture. Pray for me that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Ek weet wat om te sê, maar bid vir my hart dat ek weet hoe om dit te sê. En aan die onderkant, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Now, we're on the island the first night and there's a big fight. And it's about religion. Okay? And the topics on the table, it's always the same. Creation, evolution, and marriage, divorce, and mixed marriages. Count on those. They pop up everywhere. And so one person, he says to everyone, I'm a Christian from the start. I'm a Christian. You guys must know I'm a Christian. I'm not going to say his name. And he's having an argument with another girl standing by the fire. She's putting sticks on the fire, tending to the fire. And so they talk, and they have a disagreement. And at one stage, she differs with him, and this is what he tells him. Now, he said he's a Christian, right? He told everyone, I found a church, and I want to be in the band. And so he's now church, and he's having a conversation with someone who says, I'm not in church. Are you with me? And when the argument gets heated up, he tells her, but you won't understand because you are not a Christian. Jy sal nie verstaan nie, want jy is in elk geval nie 'n Christen nie. And I look at this girl, and especially in the beginning, I'm just hiding away behind the bushes, and I see her heart breaks in that moment. And later on, I go to her and I say, I saw what happened. I'm very sorry. How do you feel? But before you answer, I just want to say that I'm also a Christian. But I don't agree with that. And this is what she tells me. Listen up, Shafa Momsbury. She says, I don't have a problem with you or with Jesus, but I hate the church. That's the perception of many people that needs God today in our country. I'm okay with the idea of Jesus, but I hate the church because this is how the church speaks. Jy doen nie dit nie. Jy doen nie dit nie, want jy is 'n Christen nie. Ek is hier en jy is hier. Savvy? And my heart breaks, and this is opened up to me very clearly. And so what I want to say to you, understand when you engage with people at work, at school, on the farm, wherever you are, that the perception of people often is that the church just wants to beat me and tell me I'm wrong. And so they will walk very wide angles to avoid us. And often it's not our heart, amen? And so I'm going to just drop three things here this morning from what I learned from the island. Number one, what a contradiction if we preach the words of the gospel without the heart of Jesus. Amen. Mag die harte breek voor die monde spreek. Belangrik. Though I speak with the tongues of angels, yet have no love, empty. Heart shift, guys. En so wat ek op hierdie oomblik wil doen, is om te sê, ek ken hierdie gemeente nie. By my gemeente verstaan ek wie kom in en wie kom uit en wie kom keier. Maar ek wil net sê, as jy so half jouself moes opsaak om vanoggend hier te wees, want jy het al hierdie ervaar, dan van die kerkse kant af wil ek vir jou sê, jammer. Because I've also got this wrong in my life. Many times. Have grace with those who speak for Christ, because they don't always have it right. Amen. But if you're a new Christian, you say, amen, Werner, that's right. Just remember, you're also growing and you will get it wrong as well. So let's rely on Him to show us. Amen. Okay. So on. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. At least one thing that Jesus is trying to say here is, when we have many means, okay, when we have stuff, there's many things that distracts us. Let's call it heart noise. Okay? One thing is this thing, right? You don't have to be rich anymore to be distracted. You just need your parent to give you a phone. Okay? This thing sucks up hours and hours and hours. Are you on silent? Yes. We have plans for business. That takes some space. We've got a very busy social program. That takes space. We've got this thing. We've got emails. And before we can help it, we've got so many noises in our heart that the cry for God gets overshadowed with other noise. And what Jesus is saying is, watch out. If you have many means, you might hide the cry of your heart. Because your heart is crying out, I actually need Jesus. But now, don't laugh at this, because this is exactly how it works. My heart, my spirit cries for God. Let's go get a pizza. Because it's soothing to us. That's what food does, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's a gift from God. But if you don't have that tonight, the cry remains. Can you see that? 8 o'clock. 10 past 8, 20 past 8, 30 past 8, I need God. With our credit cards, we make many emotional outcries disappear. I think it's time for a new car. Your heart cries out, I think it's time to buy that thing. And we silence. Can you see what I'm saying? Check this out. If we say we have fellowship with Him, As ons sê ons ken God, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, the cry of a heart, which we cover, watch out, we deceive ourselves. Okay, this is om yourself te blinddoeken en in die muur vast te stap. Né? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the thing. In life, because God is alive and constantly acting, drawing you in, you will feel the cry to surrender to Him. You have two options. The one is you must surrender, but it will ultimately cost you your pride. If you are a believer, He's talking to you about one thing. You need to, let's say, jy moet jammer gaan sê vir iemand, of jammer sê vir God. Dit kos jou, jou trots. Option one, I'm taking the mask off. God, I got this wrong. Pietie, ek is jammer, ek heb jou so gepraat, dit was verkeerd. Ek het alweer gebid, vergewe my. What happens? Boom, there's this explosion of peace that comes into your life because you just responded to this principle, being in the light. But what is easier when you hear the cry of the Spirit is to say, let's cover it. Let's go on a trip. Let's buy new clothes. And the week goes on. There's a cry in the Spirit. God is starting to speak to you about something at work or the way you treat someone. And you hear it, another mask on. And so what we do is at some stage with all of the mask, we cannot see where we go and we deceive ourselves. We are the masters of self-deception. The person who deceives you the most is the one you see in the mirror. Now, on Survivor, what happens is all the masks comes crashing down. Quah. Whether you are a billionaire or whether you all without a job. You're on the island together. You each have a banana, maybe. Suddenly, the playing field is the same. Just hear me here. There is nothing wrong with makeup, okay? But spiritually, we can make up ourselves to portray something else than what we really are. But now, physically, on the island, there's no makeup, no clothes. You have a blow dryer. Of next. So your physical masks also fall down. You've got no new clothes to put on tonight to come and make an entrance. There's nothing. Jy stink nog steeds. And it's amazing to see when the masks comes down, how the hearts open up. And there's people there that I know have been running away from God for years. And on the island, they would not leave me alone. They just want to talk about God. They just want to hear about church. Because for the first time, the cry in their hearts is the loudest thing. The credit cards at home, makeup kits at home, kan jy Uber kry van die eiland af hier. And so the one girl says, I'm actually quite worried about my parents because they don't have work at the moment and they have to work. And everyone's going on and they, you know, doing whatever we do, we're drinking water and making fire, but I pick up on my ear that she's actually saying help. And so we each have our hand of rice and someone says, it's funny, I never had to initiate prayer for food. Someone that, even people that don't know God, they're reaching out to Him. They say, who will pray for us? And Anselik said, Axel. And so I said, Lord, I want to thank you for this rice, but I want to pray for so-and-so's mom and dad. And I ask that you will give them a job. Amen. As I open my eyes, the tears come down. My son can pray that prayer. It is not rocket science. But isn't it interesting to see when we have no other noises while someone talking to us on this thing, the sincere words of a believer comes in. And the words of the Bible can come in. We drop it. That's why men's camps and women's camps are often so powerful, because it takes us away from stuff we rely on. Two people come to me. They say, I've not told anyone this. I am afraid. I've got anxiety. Will you pray with me? They will never ask someone that, because that in life here is showing you are weak. When you lose the things that you can lose, when it's taken from you, then you reach for something that cannot be taken away, that's eternal. So, you have to unmask if you want to know Jesus deeply. And the process will be including you laying your pride down. If you cannot say, I am a sinner, you cannot know Jesus. There's a study they did in America. Okay, follow me here. They studied people who had multiple marriages. A lot, like 4 or 5. Okay? And they saw a trend in all those people. If you go to them, they all say, from the first marriage, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, it was my husband's fault. 100%. Or if it was a man, it was my wife's fault. They always said it's the other person's fault. And then they looked deeper into this thing and they said, once someone has told a lie 3 times, they start to believe it themselves. So on the first or the second or third divorce, they would say, now it was Pity's skuld. They told another person it was Pity's skuld. Another person, then they believed it. We are masters at self-deception. But those who said, if I have to be honest, I messed up as well, and I'm going to seek help that better. Interesting. But now, how do you create these situations where our mask comes off? Second part of that point. And believers need to unmask first if they want to share the gospel truly. You know why? You cannot have your mask on and tell someone else to drop theirs. That makes you a what? Hypocrite. And I know Duval. He will tell you if he had a fight with his wife. Amen? If a pastor only shows his good side, he's going to have a congregation that's not authentic. Always perfectly dressed. Hello, brother, hello, sister. Does not work. It's not authentic. What I found, if I tell people, hey, Janae and I, we had a rough week. We engaged and we fought. In a week's time, they come to me and they say, listen, if I have to be honest, this is what's happening in my home. Can we pray? So, if you're on the way looking for God, I just need to let you know, you're going to have to unmask. But if you are here and you've got a heart for people, you love people, your neighbors, your family, those who work with you, you cannot show them at work the perfect Christian. Just quoting scriptures, hallelujah. You're going to have to show them that behind your mask, there's issues as well, because it's the truth. Amen? Sê vir die ou langsje, net karakters in horror movies dra maskers. Okay, I'm sorry. These are two big words. It's just to show to you that I'm very smart, okay? And that, but don't worry about the words. It's what's behind them. Just say, identification. Okay. The one word is identificationism and the one is extractionism. But just say identify, extract. Okay, so these are two words that describe the works of Christians, the missionary trips Christians went on from the early times. The first thing they did was to extract. Roman Catholic Church. And what they would do is they would go to a village. Don't lose me here. It's going to Survivor and then to the Gospel. They would go to towns and they would say, hey, we are from the West. We know better than these people. Let's build Western homes and eat Western foods and speak Western language. And then we invite those people into our homes and tell them what it's like to be real humans. Okay? But some of these missionaries had great hearts, but they had the tactics still to extract people. And so wat hulle sou doen is hulle sou Engelse klasse gee vir mense in Afrika en Asië en die klas sou gaan oor Jesus. En hulle sou mense bereik het, maar die missionaries was nie altyd gewoond aan die muskiete en die diere en die goedie, so hulle sou soms doodgaan. And when the missionary died, the mission died, because everything was on him and in his house. Then the people said, no, if we look at the gospel, Jesus went and ate with the people. He walked with them. He slept in their homes. Go to that house and tell that person we're sleeping with him. And so the tactic for ander now to identify. Go into the African village and sleep in their homes. Even if the bed is this long, it doesn't matter. You sleep there. You eat their food and you start to speak their language. And you teach them how to share the gospel with stuff in their house. You see the spiller? Sometimes we feel we want to cave in. Guess who's holding us up? And so they started to teach the gospel through ways, cutlery, pictures, imagery. And then the guys would have other people in their homes and they would start to share the gospel the missionary told them. It took longer, but when the missionary died or left, the gospel went on. Now, listen up. This is very important for us. We cannot extract people to church anymore. That time is, die bowing is oor. It's done. I'll tell you why, because the people on the outside, they're saying, I don't mind Jesus, but I hate the church. You can no longer say to the person at work, only come to church. It's too far a leap for them. You're going to have to go and sit at their desk and talk with them. You're going to have to knock on their doors and go into their home and spend time with him. Jy mag bier drink, okay? Nie kas nie. Ek dink is 'n lekker kerk daai. So on the island we're sitting one day, ek en my vriend Tom, and we're hungry. I mean, you wake up hungry, you go to bed. You just wish the sun will go over so that you can go and sleep. Okay? Now, ons is soos dassies in die son. Okay? Klein T-rexe. And we just hope if we open our eyes, the sun would be a little bit higher. And then you open and that sun is still, it's like it's on pause. It's like, oh, come on. Felt like you sit for, if you feel like you're getting old, just fast, 3 days every month. It will feel like a year. Because when you're hungry, time does not... look at the watch. If you say, I'm only going to eat in 3 days, 6 o'clock, and then stand before the watch, I promise you, time will pause. Amen? So now we're sitting, and we are dwelling together. I can't go anywhere. He can't go anywhere. I can't be present to another person on my phone. He can't. It's just us. We're sitting. Gaan gou coconuts collect, dan kom ek weer. Okay. And we're just sitting. And our masks have been off. And I said, Tom, you've got a son, eh? He says, yes, his name is Dylan. You look sad today. What's going on? No, today, he's going to grade 8. Hy begin by hoërskool. And here, I don't know if he's okay. And they went through very difficult financial times. And he's like, I don't know if he's properly kitted out. I don't know if he would go to school, and maybe he needs money for a camp. And he starts to cry. A tear comes down. And now, you know, you can hide your emotions here because there's many stuff. Maar nou, dis al 24 dae en nou sit ek daar. Gaan coconuts al. Now I'm getting emotional, and he says, so and what about you? I said, no, we have a son. Back then we didn't have our daughter Talita yet. I said, I've got a son, he's 4 years old. And now the tears are coming down for me. And you see, when you learn to live without your masks, you don't have to pretend you're a macho anymore. You know it is Christ that's strong in you, not you. Amen. So I'm crying. And everyone cries every now and then on the island. You just walk, there's two people crying, like, oh, people crying. And it's like here, if someone cries, like, are you getting divorced? What's going on? And they know I'm crying because, you know, I miss my friend, you know, because you're so present to the heart. And so he told me, and this is why I cried. He said, you know, it's interesting, when they're young, you need to hug them a lot because they come to Secunda Motorfiets. They come to an age when they shy to hug you in front of their friends. Yo, now we're crying. And I'll sit. Son is now also a centimeter up. And he opens up and he says, you know, I went on a mission directly after school to Mercy Ships, but they rejected me because I did not fit in. He's an odd fellow. Okay, you need to understand him. And I've never been back to a church again. And I feel that I want the relationship of God. It's been 21 years that it took for him to have a conversation like that. Life is too busy. 21 years. He wants to go back. He doesn't know where to start. He's going to church with me next month in East London. Amen. We need to sit with people. We can't rush past. The gospel is not a McDonald's pickup. It does not work like that. The Word became flesh. I'm almost done. Please don't tap out. And dwelt among us. Who's the Word? Okay, it's imagery speak for Jesus. It's a Jesus. Het afgekom en hy tussen ons kom bly. And we seen his glory. Why? Because he did not run past, he sat down. The Greek gives us an idea like he set up a tent. Okay? Tabernacle. And we saw his glory. Now listen up, there's something to say here. He had his dwelling with the angels, but he stepped down to come and sit with you. Here you are, worshiping with the angels, and you've been given the mandate to step out and sit down with those at work, family, those you love. What a great task to represent him. Isn't that amazing? Number three, may we learn to walk into the lives of others and love them closer to Jesus. Maybe I had to go on Survivor to understand that again and to realize I can eat about 3 kilograms of steers, those two things. Last point, then we're closing off. I like to use this example. If you've listened to my sermons or have been, you've probably seen the face of this girl. I don't stalk her. She's dead. And the readers, who's the readers in this place? Loves to read. You might know this person. Who knows this girl? Okay. Her name is Kitty Genovese. Okay, it rings a bell somewhere. Okay, listen up. You'll recognize it still. This girl lived in an apartment, Kew Gardens in America. And every night she would work late and go to her apartment. She'll walk in the dark alley, one of those places where you enter one door and then it's almost like a res, like a university res. It's the apartment you get, you go in and that's your little place where you stay. And a man watched her every night. We go to the next slide. This man, his name is Winston Mosley. Actually died 3 years ago. He watched her every night to see her patterns of movement. And one night, he caught her in the alley and he stabbed her with a knife. Sorry for the graphic illustration, but you all grown-ups. And it was late, but she shouted. She said, "Help me, he is stabbing me." And what happened is lights went on. And people opened their windows to look down. Where's the noise coming from? And when the lights went on and the windows opened up, the man ran away and he hid somewhere behind a corner where it was dark. Here's the thing. No one came down. And this man came back and finished the job. And he murdered her that day. Still today, they call this the Genevieve syndrome, the bystander's effect, where we look. Now, it's true for physical moments. You can think about accidents. You can think about someone in need. But it's eternally true for those who are shouting out of the alley, "Help me." And what I want to say is that when Scripture says Jesus came down, this is the most important part of this morning. You need to know that the cries of our heart has reached heaven. But he did not only put a light on, he came down. And those people maybe thought, if I go down, I might get murdered. Okay? They spoke to those people, and that's what they said. Jesus did not think, maybe they will crucify me. He knew. He came down. He counted the cost even before he came. And he said, "I've heard the cries from earth. I'm coming down to help at the expense of my own life." And so the first thing I want to say this morning is that if you do not have a vibrant relationship with Jesus, and the church made you thought that if you adjust your behavior, then you can come to church, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. You do not get to pay for your own way to church. Someone paid for it. No, but you don't know what I've done. It's like the sins I've committed, or how long, and my heart, it's like marks on my body. But what he does is he stretches himself out over you like this. And he took every shot. You can be clean before the Father because he's pleased with the sacrifice paid by Jesus. In the Old Testament, they had to kill a lamb for the sins of the family. What is Jesus called? The Lamb of God. Not only the Lamb, the perfect. The price for your sin is paid, but you have to unmask. It's the only thing you must do. Unmask. Amen? And to those of you that's been around, if you feel today my words towards unbelievers have been harsh, rely on Jesus. His words was pure. And the Father will give his righteousness to you so that you can go and go again. Try again. If you feel shy when you take off your mask, know this. He was naked. Totally unmasked. And the Father said, "I'm pleased with that. He wants to give you that. And He will strengthen you as you go out into the alley, because He came down first. Amen? Let's pray today and just make an invitation and give God the opportunity to move us. We must move. I love it when we have an invitation and we ask people to move, because it's a sign of two people can't be proud in this place. It's me or God, I'll move. It's a powerful sign. And so I'm going to make an invitation this morning, and only if a spirit works with you, take that step today.